Welcome to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James. This is the podcast that gets people waffling about their mental health, coping mechanisms, life's minor inconveniences, and the music that soundtracks it all. So join me as I open up shop and have a waffle.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I just didn't want to be here anymore. But then I also knew deep down that I still had so much to live for. Better times are around the horizon. And I think that's when it got to the point where I thought, well, I need some help. I need to call someone.
Welcome to another episode of the Waffle Shop podcast. Today, I'm joined by singer, model, and everything in between, Josh Cuthbert. Welcome to the Waffle Shop.
That's one of the nicest introductions I've ever had, so I appreciate that. And everything in between me sounds just like the best thing in the world, but I appreciate the bigging up.
Well, no, it's true though, isn't it? Because you do everything. Like, you're a very talented guy.
I don't know about that. Maybe a bit of one of those people that tries to do everything but isn't great at anything, but that's fine.
But at least you tried. That's the key thing. At least you tried.
That is very true. How are you?
I'm not too bad. We were saying before we hit the record button, it is very, very hot today. Right. So it is that typical British thing of like, we're not happy when it's cold. We're not happy when it's too warm. But, you know, we're never happy, are we?
Happy. But you know, I'm not happy in this heat. I know I sound like an old man moaning, but this is just like, I can actually feel the sweat dripping down my leg hair as I'm chatting to you. So it's just too much detail, guys. But we're not made for this. We're not made for this weather. No, on nothing. It's just absolutely vile. But hey, listen, at least it's not raining.
Exactly. There's always negatives to positives, always. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm okay, thank you. I'm just really happy to be chatting to you because I like talking about important things, and I like talking about that means something, and hopefully can kind of help other people that listen to this out there maybe realize that they're not alone in kind of normal feelings that maybe they don't think are so normal. So yeah,
definitely.
I'm okay, thank you.
The perfect person to waffle with.
Exactly. I'm happy to waffle for the afternoon, for sure.
Perfect. Bit of a spicy waffle today because of how hot it is, but anyway, we move on. For anyone who is listening today, this is a very special episode of the podcast, as we're actually recording to talk about the Samaritans and their incredible campaign for National Suicide Awareness Day. The Samaritans is an incredible charity that myself and Josh have, in some ways or form, have had to utilize throughout our own journeys, which is something obviously we'll get into as we have a bit of a waffle. But I just want to start off the show by saying that if there is anyone out there who is struggling at the moment, please reach out to them, because I think me and Josh are both kind of, I mean, I don't want to speak for Josh, sorry, we'll get into your own journey. But we're here as a result of the incredible work that they do. So if you are struggling, please, please get in touch with them.
Well said.
Yes. Yes. Well, God, I felt like the sweat dripping off my head then.
Thank God it's a podcast, eh?
What led you to working with the Samaritans?
For me, it's a charity that do absolutely incredible things. And for a lot of people, and like you said, by the sounds of it, maybe you, myself, it's kind of it's the last port of call for some people, and they are there 24/7 to be there when people need it the most, when they're struggling with their mental health, when they're maybe feeling suicidal, when they're maybe feeling like they're not good enough, that they can't carry on, that they can't, you know, go another day at this crazy thing that we call life. So for me, the Samaritans are such a special charity that I just am so honoured. Like, I really am so honoured to be involved in and to be an ambassador for them and to sort of sing their praises from the rooftops, because like you said at the start, they are a wonderful charity that do some incredible things for so many people.
No, I'm echoing everything that you say. A lot of people who have listened to this show already will know kind of like my journey in terms of, like, well, to be fair, I wouldn't be sat here talking to you if I didn't start the podcast following my own mental health journey. With yourself, obviously people will know you obviously from, you know, to fair, pretty much every avenue that you do, whether it's modeling, from singing, obviously with Union J. When it kind of came to like your own mental journey, was there like moments or a defining moment that made you kind of reach out to the Samaritans? Or was there a particular moment in your life that you were like, okay, I need a little bit of help now?
I think it was the idea of losing my wife. And when I say losing my wife, it wasn't, you know, she'd never threatened to leave or anything like that. But it got to the point where I was so, you know, I was struggling so much that there was no way I could be the man and the husband to her that I wanted to be and that I should be. You know, it was, I think, because people don't realize how, and I don't think it's spoken enough, how tough it is for partners of people that go through mental health struggles like I went through, like yourself, you know, like so many, unfortunately, so many people do. So for me, it was that moment where I thought, if I don't get some help or kind of, you know, try and get better and feel better in my headspace, I may lose the best thing that's ever happened to me and will ever happen to me. And that's my wife, Chloe. So I think that was a defining moment. I also got myself in a position where I just didn't want to be here anymore. You know, I didn't want to have to sort of go through, you know, feel those things that I was feeling anymore. I didn't want that. But then I also knew deep down that I still had so much to live for and so much to still do in my life and experience. So I was in this, it was a real conflict where one part of me was going, wouldn't it just be easier to not be here anymore? And the other part of me was going, no, keep fighting, keep stick with it. Better, you know, better times are around the horizon. And I think that's when it got to the point where I thought, well, I need some help. I need to call someone. When I was in such a bad state that I thought, I need to speak to someone that isn't a family or friend member that's going to say, oh, you know, you're all right. You know, everything's going to be all right. You're great. Yeah. You're this, you're that. I needed to kind of speak to someone that didn't know me, didn't know anything about me, that was just a complete stranger. And I think that's the special thing that Samaritans gives you, is that kind of safe space that you're not being judged. You're not, they are just there to listen. And that's such a comforting thing. I mean, like you said, you've experienced that. So I don't know if that's how you felt, but just having someone on the end of the line that is just there to listen is such a powerful thing, right?
No, I completely, and there's certain moments of like listening to like what you were just saying, like I had like goosebumps, because I feel very honored to be able to have these kind of conversations, especially because there was a time in my life where I felt like I was the only one who was experiencing these emotions and feeling like this. And I almost felt like guilty for feeling the way that I was. And it wasn't until I kind of made that call to the Samaritans that I felt like for the first time ever, I felt like I was actually being heard. There wasn't like, you know, they weren't listening to kind of just respond with like, oh, it could always be worse, or someone then to compare their journey with mine. And I felt heard for the first time. And like you said, like it was that safe space for me just to be kind of, just to be myself and be like, well, okay, I can do this. Like it's, you know, it's, like you said, like days do get better. There's a thing, and you mentioned it a few times when you were just saying about like your own journey, about the kind of like the judgment. Do you think, obviously we're both men, the judgment thing when it comes to us guys talking about like our mental health, like there's a big element of judgment, I think. And it's quite, in a weird way, like going through my own journey, I almost feel like a little bit silly now, because it wasn't from like conversations like this. I realized that actually, do you know what, like we're all actually feeling this. So we shouldn't be judging each other. We shouldn't be judging ourselves. And there's certainly no judgment from asking for a little bit of help.
In my opinion, mate, it's the, and I've said this before, and I will always say it, for me, it's the strongest and most, I guess, rewarding thing you can do is to ask for help. There is nothing wrong, and it's not remotely weak. If anything, in my opinion, it's the complete opposite. If you're in a position where you can ask for help, that is the biggest and most kind of just sensational step that you can take to getting better, because until you ask for help, you don't really understand that there are so many people out there that are also suffering. And as horrible as that is, I don't know about you, I took comfort in knowing that I wasn't alone. And that's not me trying to say like, oh my God, I'm so glad millions of people out there struggle with their mental health. For God's sake, no, I would obviously like no one to struggle, but just knowing that you're not alone is a real sense. It's like, it just feels like a weight is lifted off your shoulders immediately. So for me, it's like, you should be proud of yourself. And I always say this to people, and this is why I always try and talk to my mates, especially my lad mates. I actually ask them how they are. You know, a lot of lad conversations are small talk, or it's about the football, or it's about PlayStation, or it's just about trivial things that don't really mean much when you break it down. Yeah, football's great and it's nice. You know, I'm a massive Chelsea fan. It's lovely supporting my team, but it's not that important when you break it all down. The important thing is the moments you get to experience on the earth, how happy you are, how content you are, how comfortable you are in your own skin, I guess. That's the most important thing. So I'm always encouraging my mates in particular to just actually, how are you? Like, how are you? Is work all right? Are you struggling? Are you struggling with anything? And if you are, chat to me. Let's chat. Yeah. Like, because once you chat, it feels like that problem is immediately halved straight away, right?
I'm a big advocate for that. A problem shared is a problem halved in my eyes.
It is.
100%.
It really is. And I think that actually us men, I think the stigma around it is getting better. I'm sure there's different parts of the country and the world that it's not, which is such a shame. But actually, I think the more that us men can talk about it within lad situations at the pub or at, you know, out for a night out, or when we go and watch the footy with the boys or whatever it is, I think it's the more we can encourage people to talk about it, the easier it will be and the more accepting it will be, because we've grown up thinking, you know, certainly I've grown up thinking the man has to provide and the man has to do this and that and has to be strong and has to be physically strong and whatever it is. But actually being mentally strong is so much more important than any of that, than anything. So yeah, I will shout it from the rooftops on my social media platform about this, because I'm so passionate about it.
I feel like I wanted to clap then. Honestly, no. Mate, this is brilliant. So we talk about coping mechanisms on the show, and I've actually picked up some of my most powerful coping mechanisms, especially when like my anxiety's high or it's just one of those days when things feel a little bit heavy, purely from having these kind of conversations. And when things get a little bit much or you need a little bit of headspace, are there certain things or tools that you lean towards to kind of give you that bit of space?
Yeah, there are. I mean, I I'm not sure about you, but my sort of down days, touch wood, are kind of a lot less frequent than they were, say, two, three. But when they do hit and they happen, which, to be honest, I had one last, what day are we today? I had one last week and it knocked me for six, if I'm honest. Like, I just felt it brought back so many scary memories and scary kind of headspace experiences that I had. But I guess the difference now is there's that, like you just said, we've got some mechanisms that we can turn to, and mine, I've got quite a few. I mean, one of them is just exercise, whether that be walking, just going out, getting just some sort of endorphins flowing around. That always makes a huge difference for me. It's also writing things down that I'm grateful for, and just trying to remember why I got through that tough time. You know, what actually, why I'm living, why I work hard to have fun and to enjoy my life and who I like to be with. I think of those things. I think of my wife, my family, my friends, the trips we've been on, the trips I've got coming up, whatever it is, you know, just that helps, writing things down. I also find to-do lists a huge help, because I don't know how you feel when you have a bad day, but I struggle to get out of bed, or I struggle to clean my teeth. Those sort of small things that we not take for granted, because you don't take those things sort of things for granted, but I write some things down, whether it just be, I don't know, make myself a cup of tea or make myself some breakfast. And once I've written the small things down, and if I can try and achieve them in that day, mentally it makes me feel good that I'm ticking things off. And I know it sounds a bit strange, but when my anxiety is high and I'm feeling depressed, or I'm feeling low, or I'm questioning my ability, questioning everything about myself, just being able to tick some things off kind of makes me feel good.
No, I do, you know what? I love that. I mean, I'm a huge advocate for journaling. I mean, before I, like, early days of kind of like my own journey, like, I used to think like the whole writing things down was very much like, oh, dear diary, this has happened to me today. Whereas it's not like that at all. So I think if it's anything, regardless of what it looks like if it works for you and it gives you those little kind of, it's almost those little points, isn't it? Especially like, oh, well, I did that. Like, what can I do next? And regardless of like how big or little it is, it's a stepping stone in my eyes to kind of getting back to like the version of you that you deserve to be, or that you want to be.
Exactly. It's all about the small wins. And I think the biggest advice I can give to anyone that has a day full of anxiety or kind of just is a bit of a crap day, it's just don't try and push yourself too much. Don't set yourself huge tasks. Don't, you know, listen to your body, listen to your mind. It is okay to have a day or a couple of days where you're not feeling good. Like, that's okay. You will get through it, and you can get through it the other side. And I know that cliche saying, that corny saying, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Like, there is, like, there genuinely is, and you can get through it. Just do the small things, concentrate on doing the simple things that we take for granted, that we kind of think are so easy, but actually small wins lead to big wins. So that's how I deal with it anyway.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And one of the coping mechanisms that I do need to talk to you about is, obviously, you mentioned like getting outside and doing a bit of exercise. Obviously, you completed a bit of a mammoth task this year, and I believe you're doing it next year as well, in the form of the marathon.
I am. I did the London Marathon. I ran it for Samaritans in April this year.
Incredible.
2 days. I think it was quite funny. I had like a really bad foot injury 2 days before. So I could barely walk for 2-3 days before. So I texted my dad, who also was running the marathon that day with me. I texted him in the morning of the marathon, and I said, Dad, I was in tears. I was downstairs at 6:30 in the morning, and I thought, I could barely walk down my stairs. So I thought, I text Dad and said, Dad, I can't do it. I can't walk. How can I run 26.2 miles? It's just impossible. So I was in tears, and I thought, I've done all this training and everything, and now I'm going to let people down and let Samaritans down and all of that stuff. And my dad just texted and just said, look, just get here, So at least you can kind of experience the atmosphere. And even if you just get through 1 mile, at least you can say you've tried. And I was like, no, that's a good bit of advice. So I turned up, I put loads of numbing gel on my foot. I took so many painkillers. Like Mark Wright, who's a good friend of mine, was in the tent getting ready with me. And he could see I was in discomfort. And he went, mate, I've got this tablet. It's absolutely brilliant. It numbs all pain from your foot. You won't feel it. So, I mean, God knows what I took, but it was like, I think it was a painkiller. Well, I hope it was a painkiller. And it just got me through. And I think the adrenaline and the kind of the buzz of the day just got me through. But it was the most incredible day ever. And I can't recommend enough to anyone out there that if you get the opportunity to, yes, it's a hell of a long way to run. And yes, it's painful. And yes, it's tiring. And yes, it's tough. But the way it makes you feel if you complete it is absolutely incredible. Just seeing people run from all different ages, all different backgrounds, from different parts of the world, running the same route together. And everyone's running it for their own reason. Mm. And that's what I find so special. There was a blind guy that was running with a guide dog. Wow. And he was probably in his 70s. And I just looked at him, I thought, oh my God, what an incredibly inspiring man. And then there was a guy that I was running with for probably 10 minutes that had lost his daughter, who was 2. And I was just nearly in tears, sort of running with this guy, talking to him. And you just see so many inspiring stories at every checkpoint of this incredible day. So, yeah, I managed to get through it, which was amazing. Did it for Samaritans, managed to raise some money. And I got back in the bath that night and I text Lou, who is one of the head ladies at Samaritans. And I text her saying, in capital letters, you have to get me an entry next year. because I was just on such a high that I just wanted to do it all over again. So, yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to doing it next year. I mean, maybe come back to me in 3 months' time when the training starts. But right now I'm quite excited for it. So, yeah.
Do you know what, though? There is something incredibly powerful in that. And it's almost kind of like the tagline of the show now. But in those kind of moments of almost like fear or like, oh, no, I can't do that. Sometimes pushing past that can actually obviously lead to these like really like incredible moments. And it's that, just for me anyway, to hearing that, it's just that little reminder of like, you can do absolutely anything. The only thing you can't do is give up. Mate, and to be on the other side of that is, mate, oh, fair play.
And it's incredible what your body can do. And what you can, and that saying mind over matter, it's so, so true. And if I didn't believe it before the marathon, because there were times where my foot, when the numbing cream kind of stopped working on my foot after about 13 miles. So the pain was, every step was extortionate. Mm. I can only describe it as when you walk on a pebbly beach, that constant pain.
Yeah. Okay.
Step. So to have that for 13 miles, which is about two hours, whatever it is, was absolutely excruciating. But I got through it. Like I said to myself, I can't stop. I'm doing this charity that means so much to me in the Samaritans that I thought that was the motivation. And it's amazing, like you said, what we as human beings can achieve when we put our minds to it.
Powerful. With that though, to be fair, and I love this because when I have like various like music guests on the show, I'm a big believer in people having almost like songs that have soundtracked kind of like certain parts of their journey, whether, you know, like, as you know, like the first dance or like the first holiday or even like the breakup or whatever it might be. I'm a big believer in people having a song. What kind of songs were playing, or did you even have music on when you were running?
I did, yeah. I couldn't agree more, by the way. I think music is one of the most powerful things in the world. I really do. So I amen to that. But yeah, for the first, I ran the first 10 miles with my dad. So I didn't have any music in because we were chatting a bit and kind of soaking all the atmosphere in. And then I left him. I went on and he sort of slowed down a little bit and I went off, and that's when I sort of put the headphones in and I thought, right, I've got to get to this finish line. So I think I just put my back in the day, do you remember back in the day when we used to buy music? Do you remember those days? Obviously.
Yep.
For 79p on iTunes, whatever it was. I've had an iPhone since they came out, which is what, probably, I don't know, 12, 13, whatever years ago. So I decided, instead of putting on Spotify, I put on my old music library on my iPhone that has songs that just take me back to so many, you know, take me back to days on the school bus when I was like teen, or a bit of old school Craig David or Neo, or like
the classics.
So many classics that blast from the past. And you know, it was the best decision I ever made, because it would take me, like you just said, so many songs take me back to certain times, good and bad, right? Like that's the beauty of it. And actually it took my headspace and my mind to another place. The place wasn't, oh shit, every step I'm taking is like stepping on a pebble. So it was quite it was quite nice and comforting to be back there. But yeah, music definitely helped.
I love it though, and to be fair, like, I have zero musical talent whatsoever. although I did make a song with Sean Paul, so I'm putting up there. I take the opportunity to tag everyone that.
Hang on. You made a song with Sean Paul. That's pretty cool.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So, you know, I'm up there with like Beyonce and like Clean Bandit and all the other people who've made songs with it. But he came on the show. I had a bit of a waffle with him and I saw the opportunity and I was like, please, can we just make like a minute song? And yeah, I was very fortunate that you said yes.
That is cool.
So yeah. And no one will ever hear it, but I can say it. Zero music. But I love it because whether it's like lyrics or melodies or whatever it is, like when someone kind of pours their heart into something, like a song or the lyrics or whatever it might be, they almost say what I can't say. With that though, with you obviously being the singer, songwriter that you are, like, do you draw on like your personal experiences to create music?
Yeah. Definitely. When the times that I've been in the studio and been involved in that stuff, it just takes you to, because it's funny, because I think people that aren't in music maybe think kind of recording studios and writing songs is a really fancy kind of like bougie sort of experience. But the reality is you're in a crappy little room with soundboards everywhere. Probably, you know, it's very intimate. There's different studios. Like if you go to LA, they all change. But the reality is you're just quite often just in a little room. And actually the great thing with that is that you can take yourself to a place where you can get inspiration and you can try and create some, you know, really special music. And it is for me, being a singer, there is no better feeling than being involved in a song and then singing the song and then hearing it back. Like that is I'm sure it's probably like a footballer or someone scoring a hat trick and watching it back on Match of the Day that same night. Like that kind of feeling, that's sick. Like, you know, that kind of excitement. But it goes back to what you were saying before. Music is such a special thing. And you're right, like the people that are so talented at it are just, they can take you to another place that you can't get to without it. So yeah, it's great.
I love it. And I think, to be fair, the live element of it, it's really taught me to be present. Like when I'm having those real bad kind of like anxious days, like if I know I've got like a gig coming up, it's like just that beautiful feeling of like for those 2 hours, I'm not worried about anything else other than this person in front of me singing those songs that have helped me get to that point. So I love it.
When I've been on stage and I'm out there, that is my happy place. Like that for me is it doesn't really get better than that, I have to say. And I think that's, you know, as great as that sounds, it's also a dangerous, dangerous place to be, because you're kind of, for years I craved that again. And in the periods where the band that I was in kind of split up and I wasn't singing anymore and things like that, there was something, there was a huge hole that was missing, you know, that was missing. So it's a catch 22 of these things. It's like the feeling when you're up there is incredible, but once you've experienced it, you struggle to get yourself back to that feeling without doing it again. If that, do you know what I'm trying to say? It's a tough one, but it's also an incredible one at the same time.
There's two questions that I ask each and every single one of my guests. And the first one is, what song needs to be playing to get Josh on the dance floor?
Oh, God. Do you know what? If I've had a Long Island iced tea, mate, not... I think I danced to A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Just anyone, someone's phone's ringing. There he goes. Josh is off.
The old Nokia ringtone I picked up with a Long Island.
Classic.
I'm going to say... Oh, it sounds so cringe. Anything like Jason Derulo vibe,
big Jason fan,
mate. Anything, because I just, after I've had a drink and I've a little, you know, not saying a lot, even after one or two, I think I'm Usher. I honestly think I think
love that.
Yeah, strictly come dancing right now because I'd win. I wouldn't because I'm terrible. But anything with a beat, if I'm honest.
Yeah. Anyone who sings their own name with that level of confidence, I'm a huge fan of. So big Derulo fan.
Amen to that.
On the flip side of that, obviously we're very open and with our emotions. Obviously this kind of chat's kind of proven that. Is there a song or even an album that kind of you lean into maybe to like let the emotion out, or is there certain songs that you can't listen to because that's how they make you feel?
That's a really good question, and I've actually never been asked that before. So I don't know the answer. I know it sounds weird, but I grew up sort of singing in my bedroom, singing in my bunk bed every day. And I remember I was about 10 years old, and I remember singing, getting my first album, which was Blue. So when I was growing up, Blue were the big
ones. Yeah,
I was 10, 11, and I remember having my Walkman. God, do you remember the Walkman? Blimey, so old. The Walkmans with the CD player and all that. And
hey, doing your first paper round, you go over that bump, and literally that's it. You're out for 5 minutes while it loaded again.
Literally, and I remember getting the album cover out of the Blue album, and they had the lyrics in there. And I just remember singing along to a couple of the songs. And I don't mean this in an arrogant way, because I was 10 years old, so I couldn't have been arrogant, but, and I'm not at all. But what I remember singing along to a couple of the songs, I remember thinking, I sound like Lee Ryan, but I sound exactly like, I remember this really weird, I remember it so vividly that I was just singing. And I remember thinking, I think I'm quite good. I can sing like Blue can. Like what? And that's kind of when that for me will always be the All Rise album will always be a really special one for me, because it just was the moment that, and I know this sounds really corny, but it's true. It was the moment that I realized I wanted, and then I thought I was destined to be in a boy band. So
wow.
And take that, you know, I'm sure there'll be people listening going, God, that's the cringiest thing I've ever heard. But it's the truth. And since that moment, I thought the next 8 years of my life, most weeks to become, you know, to be in a successful boy band. And I managed to kind of live it. Yeah. Like, you know, I live that dream. And I'm so grateful, because the thing that people don't see, especially in all walks of life, people don't see the knockdowns before any success, really, or any kind of, I'm not with Christ, we weren't as successful as a lot of boy bands out there, but just getting to the
you
place.
You did very well.
Yeah, just to get to the place where we could sing in front of thousands of people, singing our songs back, was the best feeling in the world. And I know it sounds stupid and a bit weird, but it all started in my bedroom singing to that Blue album. So I guess for me, that is an emotional album because it's where it all began.
Do you know what? I think it's actually the most honest answer anyone's actually ever given me to that question.
Oh, well, there we go.
So no, I massively respect that, and I resonate. I mean, like I said, I don't have any musical talent, but the Waffle Shop started in my bedroom at a time when I felt like I couldn't talk to anyone. So the fact that I'm now sat here with like pop stars, like Olympic athletes or whatever in my own studio, mate, you've got to start somewhere. And there's incredible moments like this, like that do make you kind of look back and appreciate just how far you've come, especially on those days when you think you can't do it. There's a day like this and you're like, yeah, I did that.
Mate, and it's I know we don't know each other very well, but I'm proud of you for doing that, because I think that it's so, if you've got a dream, and no matter how big or small that dream is, just go out and get it, right? Like, what's the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen is you get told no, but you know, fine.
A stepping stone, not an obstacle, always.
Exactly. I sort of will say, whenever I have children, I will talk to them about my experiences in life, and I had more no's than anyone will ever understand. It was no, 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 no. Or it wasn't even just no's, it was so close, oh, not quite, you know, nearly, but you came second or whatever it was. But once you get there, it makes it so much sweeter. And Definitely. You know, starting this podcast in your bedroom, and now, like you said, getting to speak to pop stars, not me, other amazing people, like that's an amazing thing. And like, I hope people that listen to this will take it for what it is, and it's nothing less than inspiring. So yeah, Thank you.
That genuinely means a lot. I have one final question for you.
Yeah.
Before I start getting all emotional. If there is anyone listening at the moment who might be having a bit of a tough time of it, I mean, I know there's been some incredible advice out there at the moment, like reaching out to the Samaritans, or, you know, journaling, or, you know, going out for a run. Like, if there is anyone listening who's having a bit of a tough time of it, what advice do you have?
Keep going. Keep fighting. Keep being yourself, because we live in a world where there's, I don't know how many billion people, but everyone is, you know, everyone is different. Everyone is on a different journey. Everyone's on a different path, and no one is perfect. That's my biggest advice. Just remember that. And also, I think, like we said earlier, speak to people, reach out to people. If you're lucky enough to have friends and family that you trust and that you can confide in, then do that. But if you don't, call Samaritans, there's other charities, you know, just speak it out loud, and keep going, because I can promise you things will get better, and, you know, life is worth living.
Oh, mate. Yeah, absolutely. Like, my face is actually like aching from like smiling. I need to thank you, to be fair, and the Samaritans for bringing this together, because I was very worried about how this one was going to go, not because of like yourself, but a week ago, I actually lost one of my friends to suicide, and I very nearly cancelled this recording because I felt like it was a little bit too soon and a little bit too close to home. But in all honesty, like, I think it was exactly the thing that I needed, because it's just that reassurance that it does get better. And it kind of, for anyone out there who is having a tough time of it, like, there is always someone there to listen to. you know, you're taking it on this kind of recording with two people who have been at that point, you know, reached out for help, called the Samaritans, and we're now sat here as a result of kind of that kind of persistence. So I want to thank Josh and the Samaritans for joining me for a waffle today. It's been an absolute honor to have you on the show.
No, mate, and you, my friend, are an inspirational guy, and I'm so sorry to hear that about your friend. Just, he would be very proud of you, or she or he, they would be very, very proud of you. So just remember that.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You've been listening to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and even leave a review. It means the world to me. See you soon.